This is Music to Live By on Impact 103.
Welcome to SOWV, myself, Danny Van Billy. Am I alone in the building?
No.
Are you sure I'm not alone? I think I am alone. I'm trying to hide the Lady Van Billy. Letitia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, loud and proud, ready for today's show. I'm really actually excited for today's topic.
Wow, I'm also excited. For those who don't know, Letitia, what are we talking about?
Well, today's show is called Sad Generation Beautiful Pictures. I've heard this said before, but I just felt, you know, we just felt we need to go into what does this actually mean. So I'm going to jump right into it this morning. So in November 2023, oh my goodness, Danny, 2003. In November 2023, this is now about 8 months ago, the World Health Organization declared loneliness a global public health concern, prompting them to launch an international commission on loneliness, which can be as bad for people's health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. This commission found, among other statistics, that in older adults, loneliness is associated with 50% increased risk of developing dementia and a 30% increased risk of incident coronary artery disease or stroke. But it also blights the lives of young people because between 5 and 15% of adolescents are lonely. And according to their findings, this is likely to be underestimated. In Africa, 12.7% of adolescents experience loneliness compared to 5.3% in Europe. And apart from the World Health Organization's founding, there's also a loneliness statistics worldwide. I didn't even know that such a forum existed.
I didn't know as well.
But for 2024, the loneliness statistics worldwide found that in South Africa, particularly, 40% of people feel lonely and disconnected from society. And so today we would like to explore how our current world's constant rejection of scripture and godly living has led us down this path of loneliness.
Wow, that's such a deep thing to think about, that a lot of us, 40% of the country, is feeling lonely. We want to hear from you, 071-364-0376. You know, what are your thoughts on what we've just shared right now? And is it something that you are experiencing? Genesis 2 verse 18. This is something, maybe a scripture that we only quote when we're talking about marriage, you know, but I don't think that's the only place where it applies. It says here, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And I think if you really consider that, that's the start of a family. That's the Lord bringing together a mother and a father. And we know later, children come into that scene. So have we forgotten that image? You know, is it all about you, your success, what you need to do, your ambitions, where you're going, where you're not going, who let you down, you? Let's have that conversation on loneliness right here on Impact 103. He will never fail.
If you're just joining us here on Impact 103, you're with myself, Letitia, and of course I'm with Danny Van Billy as well. And today we're discussing the topic of loneliness. So there's a story I want to jump right into. And I have to preface this by saying I'm talking about a very beautiful woman, because once you hear the story, You would think, well, maybe she wasn't very appealing to everybody, but that's completely false. So in December 2003, a woman by the name of Joyce Vincent from the UK passed away while she was watching TV on her couch. Her body, Danny, was only discovered in January 2006.
Wow.
We're talking almost 3 years of this woman not being discovered. So her neighbors had...
Was she living in a farm somewhere?
No, she was actually living in the city. She was living in an apartment complex, or some people would call it like a flat.
Sure.
And her neighbors had actually assumed that the flat was unoccupied. There was an odor coming from the flat of decomposing body tissue, but they attributed it to the waste bins that are near the flat.
The flat's
windows did not allow direct sight into Joyce's apartment. It was a noisy building, which may explain why no one questioned the constant noise coming from her TV. So, Danny, her TV was on for almost 3 years because she passed away while watching TV. It remained on until she was discovered. Now, half of her rent was being automatically paid to the Metropolitan Housing Trust by benefit agencies, leading officials to believe that she was still alive. For over 2 years' worth of rent built up to £2,400, and that's when housing officials decided to repossess the property. Her corpse was discovered on the 25th of January 2006 when bailiffs had forced entry into the flat. Now, the television and the heating were still running due to debt forgiveness, and her bills were being continually paid through automatic debt. Vincent's remains were too badly decomposed to conduct a full post-mortem, and they actually had to identify her through dental records. Police ruled death by natural causes, as there was nothing suggesting foul play because her front door was double locked and there was no sign of a break-in. Now, you would think family, what about family and friends? Well, her sisters had actually tried to find her by hiring a private detective and even contacted the Salvation Army. But these attempts proved unsuccessful. When the detective found her previous address, the family tried to write letters there, received no response, and as a result, the family concluded that she had deliberately broken ties with them. This story, when I first heard about it a few years ago, I thought it was unbelievable. But over the last couple of years, it's become more and more apparent in society that people are dying and being found 6 months, a year, 2-3 years later, because of how we are now constructing societies and being so self-focused that the community is not so much of importance anymore.
And we live in so much isolation. You know, you can be on your phone in a room somewhere, no one knows where you stay. To make it worse, you know, when you look at her situation, having read more into the story, where she'd gone through a season where she isolated herself from her family.
Yeah.
You know, so now if you do that and something happens to you, who knows where you even live? You get me? So I just think this is a shocking story.
Yeah.
And it's such a sad state of being for all of us as communities who are living in isolation.
And we see, and that's what we're trying to speak of today, we're using the story as a kind of case study to talk about how whenever we reject God, we become isolated for destruction by the enemy.
Now, we're not saying if you're lonely, you've rejected God.
Mm-hmm.
Stay put for the explanation when we come back.
I've been trying, but I don't always do the things I know to do. And I'd be lying if I said most days I look just like you do.
You're on SOWV with myself, Danny Vanvili, and Letitia. As we... And she's not just Letitia, she's Letitia Vanvili.
Oh,
I need to add that part. My lovely wife. You know, I've missed you, hey?
Really?
Yeah, where were you?
What do you mean?
You've not been on air. Yeah, you left me here alone. I need to complain, eh? I'm going to tell Lisa, Rikus, Helen, the people who've messaged. Letitia left me on air alone for a bit, but she's back.
Yes, I'm definitely back. And we are getting your messages on loneliness already. If you want to chime into the conversation, remember that you can always do so. Our WhatsApp line is 071-364-0376. What we're talking about today is how when we follow a life of purpose through Christ, it always leads us to some kind of community. Mm. And what hurts as a believer is to see our world's blatant rejection of the moral codes and the principles that are spoken of in scripture, not realizing that the more we go away from God, the further we also go from human basic needs like community, like fellowship, etc. And when we read scripture, we often tend to think about it as morality, living right before the Lord, but we don't tend to link it to our quality of life. And one of the ways that we can absolutely prove that scripture is constantly being refuted, Danny, I don't know if you heard about the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't go anywhere without hearing about what took place at the Olympics. Tell us a little bit about it, Danny.
Yeah, those not so smart people decided to pick on Christianity. They had a very blasphemous Last Supper
ceremony,
and then they just chose to insult everything Christians stand for, and they thought they were going to get away with it easily, like we've let them for the last couple of years. But no, there's been boycotts. People have gone, and you know, now they are backpedaling and trying to pretend like they were portraying something else, but we know what they did.
Exactly. And in their apology, which was actually rejected by a lot of Christian organizations because it wasn't sincere, they actually tried to say that they were not portraying the Last Supper, but they were portraying the Feast of Dionysus, which is, you know, a pagan feast where the Greek gods came to celebrate with the wine god or whatever the case is. Now, unfortunately for some of these people, if you know anything about me, I have an academic background in French. And so we're going to refute this whole Feast of Dionysus thing. The opening ceremony on the pamphlet, if you attended the Paris Olympic opening, it was called La Seine sur un Seine sur la Seine. Now, they did a play on words to describe what the ceremony was. In French, the Last Supper is called La Seine. A stage is called un Seine, and they did it on the river Seine. So the play on words basically meant the Last Supper on a stage on the Seine River. Mm. There's no other religious belief that speaks of the Last Supper. That's number one. Number two, the lady in the middle of the Last Supper who was portraying Jesus immediately went to her Instagram, and I have the picture right here of the screen grab, and she said, "Oh yes, oh yes, the new GAY Testament." And then a few minutes later, deleted it and posted about the Feast of Dionysus. So it's very clear that this ceremony was poking fun at Christianity. And now today what we're saying is the blatant disrespect and disregard of our Lord Jesus that we constantly see in media. I mean, Danny, you and I are always talking about how Jesus is a swear word in Hollywood movies.
Yes.
You can't watch a movie without someone screaming the name Jesus or Christ or Jesus Christ as a blasphemous term to express sadness or mistakes.
Yes.
This kind of thinking is what could lead us to a life that has ungodly patterns that leads us to loneliness, because we're no longer being led by God because we see him as a small thing, and we don't realize, as the West especially, Western values, that by putting the principles of scripture aside, we automatically expose ourselves to lives and livelihoods that are not good for us.
And what we're saying is this, we're not even speaking from an individual perspective yet. So if you sent in a message, we're not saying you are here because, no, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is the fiber of our communities has systematically removed God to a point where anything that has to do with the image of godliness, the first image of godliness is always family.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find that the family is the most attacked institution in the world right now. Everything about what God says, we should honor, let me say, relationship between parents and child, child and parent, you know, it's always under attack.
I mean, even if you look at the ceremony itself, some of the visuals they had there were so blatantly explicit that it was an attack on the family because children and parents couldn't sit. Yes. And watch that ceremony, which is traditionally a ceremony that families could come and watch together. And they were breaking that image with some of the things that were being done there.
Yes. So just moving away from the Olympics, when we go back into our world, we're like, there's no advice that is given, you know, without them intentionally trying to kick God out. It's always about you. What makes you happy? What do you want out of life? And today we want to look at that and say, guys, the results have not been good, you know, and somehow something is falling apart to a point where we are diagnosing the world with loneliness, you know, but there's no one who's born without a family. You know, no one just shows up here, you know, and it should be situations where, what we're seeing should be rare, but it's become the norm. We'll be back. Stay tuned on SLWV.
Visit impactradio.co.za.
We're still talking about loneliness, and today's show is called Sad Generation Happy Pictures, because we keep pushing this image in the secular world that is completely different to what the Lord pushes. You know, we've been getting some of your messages and we really appreciate it. And there are some people that have been talking about the truth of loneliness and what it really means. Clear godly purpose tends to build community for you, whether you're married, have children or not. And that must be clear in today's show. It's not about worshiping marriage or worshiping being in a relationship, but it's more about honoring the fact that when there's clear purpose in Christ Jesus, it leads to some kind of community. If you joined us early on, you would have heard the story of Joyce Vincent, who had passed on and she was only found almost 3 years later. Now, she was only 38 years old, so she wasn't living in some kind of, I don't know, monastery somewhere. She was living among people. I want to look at this from a female perspective. We talk about hyper independence all the time when it comes to women. And I want to delve into it a little bit. And I need to reiterate that my summation of scripture has led me to believe that marriage is really not for everyone, nor do I believe that everyone should even have children. But my issue particularly is that if one does not marry or does not have children, scripture is also clear through the Apostle Paul how that person ought to live. God then becomes their primary focus. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that the ability to even be single and in God is a gift. You find that in 1 Corinthians 7:7, which says, "But I wish everyone were single just as I am, yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another." This would suggest to me that even the ability to be married is a kind of gift. What I question is this hyper-independence that has no moral or godly-led boundaries or purpose that we keep telling women. We say to them that marriage is oppressive, that children kill your dreams, without considering the long-term societal impact of such statements, as well as the feeling of loneliness among other struggles. We always paint this rosy picture of independence without considering that there are pitfalls to choosing such a path that is seldom investigated. And that's where some of the messages we're receiving about how hard it is to be alone is what I want to focus on. Is this push that you need to be by yourself, you need to be successful, people are going to hurt you, children are going to kill your dreams. What about those moments when you are really, really struggling with loneliness? Now, in scripture, we see David turning to God in times of his loneliness in the Psalms. I'm going to read Psalms 25. Verse 16 to 17, where David says to the Lord, "I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish." David, in this instance, because he knows God, he is turning to God. But in a society where we constantly reject God, what's happening is there's a lot of lonely people who have no idea where to go. Because without even a belief in God, how do we deal with this loneliness? How do we fill that void without afflicting our souls?
You know, Letitia, it's really so sad that when the world gives you a solution, you know, they honestly hide the pitfalls. You know, research is showing that we're not good on our own. But when we are told to prioritize things like careers, you know, it's hidden. You know, you are not told, look, in the long run, you will be older, you will be by yourself, and you're going to need people. There's just no way or form where a human being is completely healthy by themselves, you know. And I know there are things that are out of our hands here and there, and there can be situations like death and all of that. But we're saying that this society
is promoting, this lifestyle,
yes,
as if it's not got parts of it.
Yes.
That are detrimental even to your health, according to the World Health Organization.
Yes, and that you only discover later, you know, when you are older and you're realizing, wait a minute, I followed this thing, and suddenly there's just really no way out. But stay tuned, when we come in, there's more.
That's some beautiful local music there with Marissa Ferhey with Acoustic Everything. We're still talking about loneliness this morning or afternoon. Danny, what's your take?
Wow. Your loneliness, especially for men, is a big topic. For those of you who are on YouTube, you'll hear, especially older men, you know, talking about just being lonely, you know, and being by themselves. Now, when you look at the messaging that's given to us as men, you know, especially when we're young, you're even told you're too young to settle down, live a little, you know, and, you know, just go around, be wild, you know, do what's right for you, climb the success ladder. And when you look at what transpires with that advice, you find a lot of men who've been with many women, no commitment, you know. Some have children, but, you know, you're not encouraged to build a family. You're not encouraged, you know, to raise up your children in a solid way. Instead, what seems to be happening with the older men is they reach a stage where they realize they're lonely and they're alone, you know. And sometimes when they now want to build relationships with their children, the same children are not even open for a relationship with them, you know, because of their absence. You know, I know it's more complex than that. I'm just saying the world, with the worldly advice, I'm not saying there aren't fathers who are being alienated, you know, in wrongfully and all of that, because those things do happen. I'm just saying with the advice we are given, which is opposite from 1 Corinthians 7 verse 1 and 2, that says, now regarding the questions you asked in your letter, yes, it is good to abstain from intimacy and relations, but because there's so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband. You know, but the advice of the world is not have your own wife, have your own husband. It's actually be immoral, you know, run around wild, do whatever you want to do. But in the later days, especially for older men, it's not good, you know. And we sit now, and as we have these discussions, you almost want to have the older men sit down and speak to the younger men, saying, look, guys,
I lived that life.
I've lived it.
Yeah.
And I don't like the outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Because the outcomes from what we're seeing, from the vlogs we are reading, and the men we're seeing, you know, in our own society, our friends, the parents, you know, of people around you and your own experiences, you're beginning to see that, no, that's not good advice for men.
You know, there's so many stories that we've all lived. A lot of us have lived the story where there was an absent someone, father, whomever, and they come back into your life when you're older and you're more established. And even in movies, they make it sound more like this person is back because they want to take advantage of whatever the child has been able to achieve in the time that they weren't around. But I want to kind of, you know, give it a different axis to say, I think that a lot of these parents who were absent or uncles or whomever, they reach a place where they actually begin to realize the value of community, the value of family, the value of having a bloodline. And they do it now when you're 30. They wake up one day and they say, hey, I wish I had built a relationship with that person. But because they didn't establish community with that person, you're allowed to be suspicious. You're allowed to think, well, what are you doing here now that I have a little bit of money? But I would go as far as saying that a lot of men are having regrets about living this wild, ungodly life that has led them to a place where now they need family, community, connection, and nobody's there. If you're just joining us, you're on Surviving Life with the Vambilis on Impact 103. And today we're talking about our sad generation with happy pictures. And we were showing how in November last year, the World Health Organization actually declared loneliness a global public health concern, stating that loneliness affects health as much as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And they actually launched a commission that found some very scary statistics, that 50% of adults were at increased risk of developing dementia, and 30% at risk of developing stroke or heart diseases because they were lonely. And there's a loneliness statistics worldwide for this year, for 2024, that even found that in South Africa, as much as 40% of people feel lonely and disconnected from society. And we've just been talking about how our acts towards not listening to scripture, rejecting the word of God, actually promotes loneliness in the long run. So we've been receiving messages from you throughout the show, and we want to read some of them. One of the messages said, good morning guys, started listening to you recently online out of a cold Cape Town. Hello everybody in Cape Town. I hate to break it to you, but it's actually warm here in Pretoria this morning.
Don't be like that.
We are. We're getting out of the cold. He says, love your content, Jesus centered. Please repeat the name that was given to the opening ceremony. I tried to Google it and couldn't find it. And I have so many Christian friends who are saying that it wasn't marking the Last Supper. And I would love the name to be pointed in the right direction. Thank you so much. And that was from Wendy. So you're not going to find a lot because they have been scrambling to delete even the footage. So a lot of YouTubers, for example, are getting copyright strikes just for showing the opening ceremony of the Olympics. That name again was called La Scène sur un Seine sur la Seine, which means the Last Supper on a stage on the Seine River. If you want the name, let us know. We can copy paste it to you so that you have your rebuttal as well. The world is just trying to mock Christianity.
Yep. Someone also sent us a very good message saying, for a long time, I felt lonely and disconnected with life in general. I felt tired of everything. Fortunately, I'm not in that headspace anymore. I found a YouTube video of a psychiatrist explaining this specific topic. It's far more complex than people might think. We lack the self-driven confidence. Most people in life have trauma or something that broke their confidence that makes us rely on people's opinion or approval, especially now with technology. People scroll through social media and other apps for hours on end because most of us are emotionally numbing ourselves to negative things. That's why I'm taking a break from my phone, listening to Impact. I can connect with God again. I personally think that's why we are so clinged to our phones. We're trying to fill a void inside us Each person's void is caused by different things. The first steps to take is finding out what it is. Pray to God to show it to you, and may God bless everyone. That's from Siska van Skalkvik. Siska, thank you so much.
And when you stay tuned, we're actually going to go into technology and how you can see that it's being used to try and quell some of the negative effects of loneliness. We've got another message that says, morning impact team, I would like to say that that study, the statistics is correct. I've been single for roughly 6 years now, and even though I've been on several dates, they just did not work out, and you start to think that there's isn't really someone for you. So we heard that people need about 4 to 8 hugs a day from their loved ones. So for the past 6 years, you desire just to have someone hold you or hug you. And yeah, so being lonely, I think, is of great concern in our world right now. Sorry, I have to continue my story a little bit, but even though I've been single, I've started to rely on God more and more. And he's the only one that can fill the void, just to give you things that the world can't give you. Thank you so much for your vulnerable and honest message. And we're also about to go into that as well, how relying on God is even more important in these times when we're being more and more isolated from society and from friends.
Thank you, Johannes, for that lovely, beautiful message. Lisa said, to be alone and not accepted by family and the world will let you lock yourself up. I'm alone, and sometimes it is difficult. You know, I think that is just as honest as can be.
Yeah.
And we pray for restoration. And this is why we really saying that, you know, this world is pushing families apart. You know, it's selling a message of, you know, loneliness that leads to loneliness. So we're praying for restoration, and we're hoping we expose that, you know, that's really not the way we should live our lives. Someone else says, hi guys, absolutely, and the people around you do not realize how impactful it can be on your life. I need to learn to communicate this very clearly with people around me and state clearly I need to be with someone right now and not later, not next week, not next month, right now. And she says, quietness can shout at you, coming from an introvert. Isn't that deep?
Yes, absolutely. And when you look at, you know, young men, we're going to talk about young men as well. So you have to stay tuned. Earlier on, we talked about how older men have made decisions where they followed the world and not scripture, and it came back to bite them in terms of loneliness and community. And when we come back, we're going to look at what's happening with young men in our society to see how it's affecting them.
Like a plane, go you wild.
Impact 103, your hope for today.
We're talking about loneliness, and earlier on, Danny spoke about how older men can have regrets based on how they lived their lives and didn't build community. But what about younger men? There are so many surveys and studies that are now proving that because of the social discourse around dating and rights, etc., young men are actually afraid, Danny, to go on dates. Is that true? That apparently more and more, this is what do they call, like, a dateless society? The first time in history that less and less people are pursuing romantic relationship.
Yes, unfortunately, they've made things so complicated. For example, consent can now be withdrawn. You know, so young men are saying, okay, what if I went on a date with this person and, you know, we consensually maybe kissed each other, and then later she says, no, I didn't consent. You know, now you could end up with like a legal case that you can't prove.
Now,
you know,
here's my thing, even with consent, and what we're talking about today is how society is telling us to live versus how God is telling us to live. Can you imagine if people just chose to abstain? Because that's what scripture says, before marriage,
yeah,
then even the consent issue wouldn't be what it's become.
Yes.
It's become that way because we pursue intimacy before commitment through marriage. And when you do that, the enemy gets involved, creates all this ruckus around it where people have been violated, etc. And now even scripture, Genesis 2:24, explains how a man leaves his house to join himself to his wife. Now that can't even happen with the younger men, because the society is so immoral that their dates, what they think a date even is so messed up that these consent issues can become a problem for either party, whether one takes advantage of someone or one withdraws consent.
Yep, and this is really the problem of the times and age we're living in. And what we want to encourage everyone is, you know, when you're looking at your life goals and what the world is saying it should look like, you make sure you add godliness to it. Find people who are advising, whether it's careers or your financial goals, like they must be God in it. You know, don't just follow worldly examples, because they will promise you that whatever you're pursuing will end up in happiness. But in most cases, we discover it only leads to loneliness. And this is why a lot of the people who you'll find showing off, even online, it ends up when the stories come out that they were faking. You know, so that is something that we're going to touch on. But for now, Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in death. So please, let us just reconsider what the world is telling us to do and how they've advised us to live.
Come alive to the beat of life with Impact 103.
So we've been talking about loneliness, and now it's time to talk about what happens if you find yourself lonely. One of the messages we got earlier was speaking about how they call it doom scrolling, when you're just scrolling all your life away on social media. But one thing we see on social media as well is we see people seeking for attention or connection at any cost, because people are playing out their loneliness. Because when you get those likes, when you get those interactions, it says that someone is on the other side, right? And some people will say, no, they're just doing it for money. But Danny, if we're being completely honest, most people's social media accounts are not monetized. I think it's like 1% of social media that's actually...
Most people are not getting paid.
Most of us are just posting because we want to have some kind of connection. And we want to talk about solutions, because even though earlier we spoke about how society promotes a life of aloneness as if it's rewarding in the long term for everybody, it's not for everybody. There are also situations where you end up lonely, where you think you did all the right things, you still end up alone, or you've lost children, you've lost family, you've lost husbands and wives, and now you find yourself alone. Or like David, you lose friendship and you're betrayed by everybody, and you end up in the wilderness praying to God in and through the Psalms. We see 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says to cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. But I want to go just a little bit deeper and be more practical with what we see in Scripture. In Scripture, we see both Ruth and Naomi, which we don't often speak about the fact that they were both widows. They had both lost their husbands, mm-hmm. right? When the Lord gets involved in your loneliness, from what I've seen in Scripture and even experienced myself, he infuses your life with purpose. In the New Testament, there's a lady that is cleaning the temple when Jesus comes for his prayer with the priest. And her story is that she was married for 7 years and her husband passed on. But when her husband passed on, she found purpose in the temple. And because she found purpose there, it's much harder to focus on your loneliness. We look at the Apostle Paul. Yes, he did not get married, but look how much he was. Listen, I don't know if this guy had time to think about a wife and children with all the purpose that God gave him. There was a time in my life where I felt similar, and I asked the Lord, what do I do with this void in my life? And he sent me out of the country. He sent me to do work. If you find yourself lonely for whatever reason, whether it's your doing or life that has been cruel, I guess I could say, please take it as an opportunity to spend more time with God. In the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7 to be exact, we see the Apostle Paul speaking about how when you're alone, you actually have more time to spend with God. And I would say, because human beings are said to need contact and connection, when you find yourself alone, it's even more important to establish that true relationship with God, where you can fall at his feet and cry And I've seen when we do this, God gives us purpose. We even see it with Hagar in the desert when she runs away from Sarah. She finds purpose in that loneliness, the pain of watching her son die. The angel of the Lord appeared, even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the loneliness, the pain of what he was about to go through when he was vulnerable with the Lord and said, listen, I don't think I can do this. God sent the angel to strengthen him. And so I pray for strength for everyone that finds themselves lonely this afternoon, that as you press in with God, as you press in vulnerability with him, he will send his angels to strengthen you and his Holy Spirit to give you purpose.
Yep, invite God into your loneliness. Don't isolate yourself from him. Invite him into it.
Good morning, it's Elsa Steenkamp. I'm listening to your program and I'm enjoying it. I am a widower, and yes, you sometimes get lonely, but my life is filled with learning the word and praying for people. I'm a real intercessor, and wherever I go to the shops, that's my work that I do for Jesus Christ. And the most women I talk to are all on their own. Husbands has disappeared and they're sitting with the children. They've got to work long hours and their mothers are looking after the children. My heart are aching. So we need to pray. There's more praying to be done for us that are Christ followers. So yeah, thank you for your program, and I'll keep on doing what God has called me to do. The purpose is to serve him in that way.
That's Blanca and Torin Wiles with Something Better. We were just talking about what to do if you find yourself lonely, and it's not necessarily by your own choice, but life has happened. And we were just saying how it's even more important to press into God, because your life has so much more purpose outside of just community and marriage, etc., like we see with so many Bible figures. Now, what happens when you find yourself lonely within marriage, within family, within friends? Now, of course, not every relationship is meant to be saved or even maintained, but we have to admit that we live in a time where maintaining relationship isn't a priority either, because we're constantly being told that what doesn't serve us, we ought to leave behind. Now, if you're a regular listener of the show, then you would hear us say things like, going to the cross didn't serve Jesus in that moment, as we see in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's not always about what's serving you in season, but it's about the greater purpose. We want people to come ready-made. And in that kind of mindset, there's no context that allows us to fix things. This allows our egos to become the focal point of all our relationships, and we find it hard to humble ourselves to make relationships work through true transformation and changed behavior. Whatever is not maintained dies. Now, we've had some messages today about people who feel ostracized by family as well. You can be in a marriage and be completely lonely. And what I've seen is that by not listening to the principles of even humility and submitting ourselves to one another in these relationships, we can end up feeling alone even though we're surrounded by people. Danny, do you feel like our current social constructs prepares us to fix and maintain and water the gardens of our various relationships?
Nope. The only advice we get today is divorce, breakaway,
leave,
separate from your family, separate from your parents, which is not necessarily the truth, you know. There are areas and situations that can be fixed, that can be resolved. And, you know, not everyone you disagree with hates you. You know, we've got like hate speech, you know, that's been legalized, that goes so deep, you know, where people just can't disagree with each other, you know, and it's seen as love,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we are living in a time and space. I was even watching someone who was saying that they don't even allow you to interview people you disagree with. Because then you get blocked for having that person on your platform,
mm-hmm.
you know. And when people are saying, look, we can disagree and still be friends, and, you know, like, our world just does not make space for that anymore.
I quickly want to read Romans 12, verse 17 to 19. It says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Now, I've heard this scripture read before, and it usually focuses on how you basically shouldn't do an eye for an eye and let God deal with whoever it is that hurt you. But when I was reading the scripture as we prepared for the show, I realized that in this, the Lord was actually teaching us how to maintain relationships, saying, don't repay the evil for what was done to you. Be careful to do what is right. Try to live at peace with everyone and let me do the vengeance. So in this scripture, I actually see the Lord being tactful, which I think is so incredible. There's a tactfulness where it says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. Listen, we need fellowship. We need family. We need friendship. We need each other. And even though we can outgrow one another, even though relationships can finish their run, when God allows, let's save our relationships.
We bless your name.
You know, as we wrap up this topic of loneliness, I really want to encourage everyone listening. If you are lonely and you are dealing with the emotions, I want to encourage you today to take a step towards healing, you know, to invite someone into your space and to go back also to the body of Christ, you know. And I know we've all been hurt. I know in the human experience, they will be hurt. But the Lord really speaks to us and advises us to protect ourselves against finding out, taking offense. You know, it's offense that will kill you and really isolate you. So if you are alone, maybe you don't have family, go back to the church. You know, don't do church online. You know, find the body of Christ where you can mingle and, you know, find meaningful relationships. And if maybe the first friend you find is the wrong one, don't go back into isolation. Please continue, you know. May God really connect you with the right people. And for those of you who maybe are in family situations where there were misunderstandings and, you know, things had fallen apart, you know, I believe that sometimes the Lord will call you even to go into a season of isolation, even from your family, you know. But that doesn't mean it's the end of the relationship. There's always restoration. And maybe because of the separation, now everyone will be willing, you know, to work together better, to understand each other, to respect boundaries. You know, so don't just give up and say, hey, we've not spoken for so long, it's over. Instead, go back and let's see how we can fix and heal.
You know, if I could add anything to that or to today's show in general, it would be purpose, purpose, purpose. Because Danny, even as you say that the Lord can call you into a season of isolation, if you know that it's a season of isolation, I think it makes it easier because you know why you're there. You're clear on the fact that, listen, maybe right now I shouldn't be around family or friends or whatever. But I believe that when we stay close to God and we have an understanding of the journey that we're walking, it makes it harder for us to fall into feelings of loneliness, etc. But also, I would like to give caution if there are younger people that are listening. Please live your life according to the gospel. Please live your life according to the scriptures. Because even in scripture, Jesus doesn't say, listen, I'm God made man, I'm going to do this thing on my own. He surrounds himself with people, and those people begin to help him to do the work of the Lord. Throughout scripture, we see even God in the Old Testament not doing things alone. Apart from the creation of the actual world, even the tending of the animals and subduing the earth, he gave that to Adam and then to Eve. So we need each other. God uses you and he uses me to reach out to one another. He doesn't say, listen, I'm God, I'm going to smite Goliath by myself. He says, I need a man, I need a David, who is going to stand up and say, listen, here I am, you know, choose me. And so pursue purpose in the Lord. Give God more time than you do your phone, your friends, and anything else, so that whatever you find yourself in, even if you're struggling, you can say, Lord, what is the word for this season? What word do I have for this loneliness that I'm going through right now? We see that the Psalms, I think, one of the most beautiful books in the Bible, was written in David's season of loneliness and suffering. But the way that he walked through that season with the Lord even has given us prayers and scriptures on how we can speak to the Lord in our lonely time. So I would encourage you, please, please, more than any relationship, seek relationship with God, because when he gives you purpose, it fights the loneliness that the enemy tries to do to isolate us and then finish us off.
And get away from your phone, guys. Get away from your phones. We love you. Thank you for joining us at SLWV. See you next time. Same time, same place. Au revoir.
Au revoir.